I love you too, Charlie. Amen. Aren't you glad you can be in a church where you say things like, I love you, to each other? Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I come to you today, and I just ask you, Lord, to remove me from the equation and speak boldly to your people, I pray. Speak so boldly, I pray, Lord, that people that aren't your people will become your people today. Do the work that only you can do in us and through us, I pray. Lord, take us to the place where we stop counting days. Take us to the place where we have your guarantees. Take us to the place where we know Abba, Daddy God, personally, passionately, and powerfully. Through you and the grace that you bought on a cross that we know is the good news of the gospel. Apply your truths to us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, welcome. On this Father's Day, I want to say to you, especially the dads, Happy Father's Day. And at the same time, let me say to you the same thing that I did on Memorial Day, that my intention today is to help you to celebrate this day in its fullest context. And so while we appreciate our dads, let us never lose sight of why we're here. Jesus the Christ has brought us into the bosom of our Heavenly Father. I want to share with you today what is, in my opinion, a quintessential Father's Day text and message as we go into John chapter 12 and we close out that chapter looking at verses 44 through 50. And we're going to have Jesus in this passage explain to us the context of the first 12 chapters of John. I want you to prepare yourself for this. What Jesus is about to do is he's going to give us a summary on the opening half, really, if you will, of the full Gospel of John. We're at a transition point. His public ministry is ending. His declaration and his proclamation to the people is about to transfer over to an intimate time of pouring into his disciples. And so what he does in these closing verses of chapter 12 is he gives us the crescendo summary. And we'll look at that briefly. At the same time, Jesus is going to explain his Christology to us in part. And Jesus will also explain to us Christianity in part. This is what we have this morning. And so I ask you to get ready to walk with me and open up your Bibles, if you have them, to John chapter 12. As we walk with the Lord through this passage, and again, we see him giving context to the Gospel of John, chapters 1 through 12, we see Jesus explaining his Christology and Jesus explaining Christianity to you and to me. I pray that this will bless you. As we go through this, watch how Jesus clarifies who he is and who you, Christian, have been called to be. I pray that all of us leave here today having a absolute clear picture of who Christ is and who Christians are called to be. And then you ask yourself, am I aligned with the Christ that I claim? That's my prayer. That's my prayer. You and I will see as we get into this text, not only how it really reverberates and underscores everything that Jesus has been saying, but that we will come to see as we understand Christ that Jesus was sent to shine. Jesus was sent to say, and Jesus was sent to save from a cross. Look for these truths. Simple, profound. The gospel is not rocket science. It's life transforming. It's miraculous truth, but it's not complicated. It just calls you to die to self, to embrace the gift of grace, and to say, yes, Lord, and to move on. And I'm here as an ambassador, an under-shepherd who's been called to invite you into this truth that Jesus bought on the cross. So let's go together, recognizing from the onset that Jesus was sent on mission by God the Father, and so are you and I, Christian. That's the big idea for this morning. Walk away knowing that Jesus was sent on mission from God the Father, and so are you and I, Christian. Let's walk with God through His Word. First, I want to show it to you, and then I want us to unpack it together. So as we have done in this series, let's see the Word of God and then unpack it together.
Jesus said in a loud voice,
"Whoever believes in me believes not only in me, but also in him who sent me. Whoever sees me sees also him who sent me. I have come into the world as light, so that everyone who believes in me should not remain in the darkness. If people hear my message and do not obey it, I will not judge them. I came not to judge the world, but to save it. Those who reject me and do not accept my message have one who will judge them. The words I have spoken will be their judge on the last day. This is true, because I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has commanded me what I must say and speak. And I know that his command brings eternal life. What I say then is what the Father has told me to say."
Okay, friends, let's walk through. Do you recognize that Jesus the Christ was sent to shine? Listen to what he said in verse 44. "And Jesus cried out, and said, 'He who believes in me does not believe in me, but in him who sent me.'" Jesus the Christ was sent to shine. Notice the sense of urgency in the invitation. Christ cried out. Sent ones have a purpose of urgency if you are Christ-like. Christ cried out as a sent one and said that if you believe in me, you believe in more than me. You believe in God the Father who sent me. That we are one. We cannot be separated. Now, I have to say to you, friends, when he says believe, he's meaning biblical belief. This is why we spent the last 2 weeks first looking at and understanding what is truly biblically believing. Last week, looking carefully at what is biblical unbelief. So that when he comes and says, "I'm shining this truth so that you see not only me, but Christ and my Father." Friends, you and I have been called to shine. We have been sent ones to shine. How many of you remember the song that you used to sing in Sunday school? "This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine." Right? You know how it goes. Hide it under a bush. Oh no! That's not a children's song. That's Christ-likeness. That's deep theological truth put in a very user-friendly way. Friends, let us not get complicated in our Christianity. Let us be simply Christ-like and shine. Shine? How so? So that when people see you, they see Jesus. That your life so shines that others who might have been accustomed to being in the dark say, "Wow, look at that light. What is that?" "Oh, that's Jesus. That's Jesus coming through my friend Charlie. Oh, wow, that's Jesus coming through my son Silas. Oh, wow, that's Jesus coming through my friend Jeff. Really? Yeah, well, look at how dark it is around them. Oh, it's dark, but look at that light. What do you see? Wow, I see Jesus in them." You think that might be a stretch, but I bring you to verse 45. "He who sees me," says Jesus, "sees the one," capital O, "who sent me." Jesus is still crying out, and he is saying that those that see me see God the Father. And friend, if you're filled with his Holy Spirit, if you are living that Christ-like empowered life, then to see you is to see Christ, which is to see God the Father. This is the whole essence of being salt and light in a dark and bland and dying world. The question is not whether or not Jesus was sent to shine, but whether or not we embrace our call to shine. You say, well, I might be one of them dim bulbs. Not an option. The power source in you does not dim. Now, we may choose to go into the dark, but your light has the ever-ready eternal power source that does not dim. Friends, I call you to evaluate your lives. I call you to get honest with Jesus and either come to the power source for the first time or to come back to the power source so that you're not putting that bushel over your light. Shine. Shine like Jesus. Please. When you go on and you read verse 46, Jesus says, I have come. Again, that's the consequence or the result of having been sent. So please don't miss this. In verse 44, Jesus says, I have been sent so that you will believe. In verse 45, he says, I have been sent so that you will see. In verse 46, he says, I have come. This is the consequence or the result of having been sent. I have come as light into the world so that everyone, whosoever believes in me will not remain in darkness. Friends, see the love. Hear the grace. Whosoever. I have come as light into this dark world so that those of you who have begun living like moles, comfortable in the dark, just rooting out pathways through the mud and the dirt. He said, I don't want you to live there. I don't want you to die there. I don't want you to spend eternity separated in the dark. I've come as light that you will see. I've come that you would know this truth and be set free. Friends, I ask you to think about just a couple of these things. Whosoever, again, amazing grace. Amazing grace. If you will say yes and surrender to Christ, if you will cry out to Jesus and say, Lord, please fill me with the miracle of your saving grace. Give me the want to repent. Give me the want to and the courage to surrender. Give me the grace to walk with you. Please. He will. This is the promise. Now, he's also very clear, and he said, those that will not. And friends, make no mistake, there is no cheap grace to be found with the God of the Bible. There is no cheap grace to be found with the God of the Bible. The gospel grace that we have was bought on the cross, and it knows no compromise, zero. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And he means it. So if and when you get a sense of, well, that's too hard, or your God's too harsh, or that road's too narrow, it's not true. We have the universal invitation of grace applied through the conditional guarantee of faith and repentance. Please, Lord, touch the hearts. For see, if we don't, I don't know if you picked up on it, but Jesus said, I've come so that you will not remain in the dark. Don't miss that, friends. Remain tells you and me that that's the default position. You start in the dark. If you are one who have said, no, listen, I've pulled myself up by my bootstraps. I may have started off in a rough place in life, but I've made it now. Look around. I've got what it takes. If this isn't light, I don't know what light is. That's not light. That's a lie. For the only true light that will light your soul and take you into eternal life comes from Jesus the Christ. And I ask you, friends, please don't remain in the dark. Please don't allow those that you know and love to remain in the dark. You and I as Christians, we don't have the power to pull them out of the dark. We can't bring them into the light. But what we can do is we can talk about the light. We can bring light in and show them and hopefully be infectious in our faith. be passionate and zealous in our communications and in our love. Be real, sacrificial, transparent, so that those that don't yet know, perhaps through the witness of yours or my life, may hear the Lord knock at the door and say, okay, I'll come. I'll come. Thank you for sending Josh. Josh, who said to me, I'm not going to be in worship because I feel the Lord has drawn me out to the car show this morning. I'll come in when the preaching begins, but I feel like I belong out there. Yes, Lord, I'll go. Remember last week, Isaiah 6:8. Who will go for us? Here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me. That's like Jesus, the sent one, going to shine so that others don't stay in the default position of darkness. Let us be those ambassadors, friends. This is such a powerful point. See, if you don't believe the default position is darkness, you won't bother going to try to rescue. The song that we just sang, we need to be captured by grace. If you don't think that you or others are in darkness, you're comfortable with the status quo. You think you'll ride this thing out. And a good and loving God at the end will weigh some scales and say, well, you are basically a good person, so you're in. That's a lie. You're basically a bad person and you don't deserve anything. It's the grace of God, the unmerited favor, coupled with the mercy where he doesn't give us what we do deserve. Miraculously changed by his Spirit. That's what shining says. And I want you to see in verses 47 and 48, Jesus was sent to say. If you think that just living a good moral life or being a good church person is enough of a witness to your friends and family, you're wrong. You need to say the gospel truth. You need to share what needs to be heard. Jesus did. Listen to what he does in verse 47 and 48. If anyone, again, the whosoever clause, if anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, if anybody hears the truth and disobeys, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. Jesus is saying, listen, this time around, I'm not here as the judge. And I fear too many people read this verse and don't read the next one. They stop here and they claim, look, biblical truth. You're absolutely correct, but it's out of context. You need to get the second verse behind it. But before we get the second, let me just unpack the first one here. Because this is a beautiful truth and we shouldn't undersell it. Jesus says, listen, if anyone hears but doesn't obey what I say, I'm not here to judge. I'm here to save. Friends, I want you to think about it this way. Imagine a judge, a real judge, right? Let's say right here in our community, a real judge goes into our local jail. Goes into the jail and people say, what are you doing? I'm here because my heart is heavy. And believe it or not, I love you. And I want to help each one of you. You see, you're incarcerated right now. You're in jail. I don't want to see you live in jail. I don't sit up on the bench liking or wanting to condemn and send people into prison. I want to see you free. Listen, I care about you. I also care about our community. I love to the point where I want what's best for you and everybody else. And what is best for you is to choose a life of freedom. And I can help you with that. In fact, I'm in jail today, not as the judge. Yes, I am a judge, but I'm not as the judge. Today, I'm here as an ambassador of freedom. I'm going to tell you the truth. You see, there are two roads out there. The minute you get out, there are going to be two roads. One of them is of the world. And it might look alluring, and it might seem like a good road. It might seem like a fun road, but listen, it's going to take you to where you lose all good. It's going to bring you right back to this cell. And you will live incarcerated forever. And I need to tell you, human rights, they go out the window here in a little bit. Because if you come back here on that eternal road, not only will you be incarcerated, you'll be tortured. for all time, endlessly. It's in part why I'm here. I don't want to see that. But on the other hand, let me tell you, that broad road that comes back here, it's contrasted by a narrow road. A narrow road that I bought the way for you to get on. And I'm here to tell you, and if you'll accept these truths, look, this invitation and explanation, it's here. I'm here. I'm doing this because I want to save you now so I don't have to sentence you later. Because I am a judge. And there will come a day where you will stand before me. Know that. But right now, I'm not here as the judge. Hear me. I love you. What can I do to prove that love? Well, I'll end there because I don't think it's righteous to bring any kind of parallel or example to Christ and his cross. But you know what Jesus did to prove. And that's what he's doing here. He's saying, I'm here now on a salvation tour. I'm here with an invitation and an explanation. And I'm not serving as the judge right now. I'm Jesus. Listen to what he says as you go now into the next verse, into verse 48. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. Get this. Now, if while I'm here, you reject what I'm saying and do not receive these truths, you will have a judge. The word that I spoke is what will judge you on the last day. Jesus says, please do not misinterpret or take for granted the fact that I'm here out of love right now trying to show you the way. Because every word that I speak, and for you and me, friends, that's the word of God, that's the Bible. You say, no, that's the red letters. No, it isn't. 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all of Scripture is God-breathed. Jesus spoke every word. So you and I don't hold ourselves accountable to the red letters. We surrender to the full truth and the full context of his word. And Jesus said that there will come a day where you and I and every other breathing human being will stand before the word of God and it will judge us. Friends, I offered to you Titus 1:16, just one of many countless examples in the scripture where God's word says, oh, I know what you say. But what you say is denied by how you live. Your works deny your words. You're actually disobedient. It goes on to say you're useless. Friends, please don't listen to the world that tells you that cheap grace will cover any and all things that you do and that you do not need to embrace the gospel of Jesus. You just need to claim a God that you think is a higher being. Nothing could be further from the truth. There's only one gospel. This is what Jesus said. Listen to Warren Wiersbe. He said, the very word that Jesus, that the sinner rejects, becomes that sinner's ultimate judge. Why? Because the written word points to the living word, Jesus the Christ. Friends, if you reject the word of God, you reject God. I don't know how to be any more clear, and I'm telling you that's what Jesus is saying right here. If you reject my word, you reject me. And you're not just rejecting me if you happen to be one of those heretics that thinks Jesus is not God. He's saying you reject both God the Son and God the Father. So please don't misunderstand and don't underestimate the importance of biblical authority in your life and yours and my responsibility to surrender to it. Let that be the message that we send to everybody as we shine and as we say in Christ's likeness. We must speak as Jesus spoke. We must shine as he shined. We must say what he said. And in this one verse, just notice, he asks, are you going to reject or are you going to receive? And let me just put a twist on something that I say to you frequently. 99% obedience is 100% disobedience. We covered that last week. Well, let me just tell you, if you say, I receive the majority of Jesus, you've rejected all of Jesus. If you say, well, I receive this, I only reject that. To reject any is to reject all. Jesus and the gospel are an all or nothing promise and proposition. He doesn't haggle. Haggling isn't holy, and the cost was far too great. Jesus says that you and I must surrender all. We must pick up our cross daily and follow him. We must be miraculously changed by grace or cry out for that miracle to happen. Paul says in Ephesians 2:2 and in Ephesians 5:6 and again in Colossians 3:6 that those that don't are called the sons of disobedience. Now remember, we've already seen in John the contrast to the children of light. I ask you, are you a child of light or a child of disobedience? And before you answer, I ask you to go and look at your life. Not in contrast to your neighbors, not in contrast to some church policy, but to the Word of God. Because it is God through his Word that will judge you. All of his Word. Do not put commas where he puts periods, and do not put periods where he puts commas. Do not rationalize away what he said. He meant every word. Both in the enormous magnitude of his grace and to the amazing aspects of his holiness. What he said about how we began and how we will end, 100% true. 100% true, proven on Resurrection Sunday. Please, friends, do not test him. Last two verses in the passage, verse 49 and 50. You see first that Jesus was sent to shine. Second, he was sent to say. He says the uncomfortable things. You will be judged by my word. Thirdly, Jesus was sent to save. Praise God. Verse 49 and 50. For I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a commandment as to what to say and what to speak. I know that his commandment is eternal life. Jesus said, I know that what I have said was given to me by God the Father, and I know that what I said is eternal life. Here is the way, the only way. He said, I say that on my word and on God the Father's word. And friend, you will hear it and you will understand it only if God the Holy Spirit gives you ears to hear. You will see this only if God the Holy Spirit gives you eyes to see. And this is why I say to you, cry out to Jesus. Cry out to Jesus and ask him to give you eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart to feel. For without him, you have no hope. For without him, you have no light. And with him, you have everything you need for life and godliness. This is the truth. Listen, if you will. Again, to Warren Wiersbe, he says this in looking at this passage. As you have studied these 12 chapters of the Gospel of John, you have seen Jesus Christ in his life, in his ministry, in his miracles, in his message, and in his desire to save lost sinners. You have considered the evidence, no doubt. Have you come to the conviction that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God, the Savior of the world? Have you trusted him and received everlasting life? Friends, I've entitled our message, Father Knows Best, on this Father's Day. Please hear in these two closing verses, Jesus is saying, everything that I am doing, everything that I am saying, every part of my ministry, every part of my mission comes from God the Father. Everything that I am obeying, every syllable I am speaking comes from God the Father. Jesus is saying to you and me, surrender to victory. Come with me to God the Father. Come through me to God the Father. Listen to my words now that they will save you, so that you don't hear them later as they sentence you. This is the truth. H.A. Ironside said this in regards to this passage, and I ask you to prepare yourselves. If, quote, if men refuse the testimony of these first 12 chapters of John's gospel, summarized here in John 12, 44 through 50, then God has no more to say to them. Now, you may differ with Ironside's opinion, but let me tell you, he has rightly captured the theological message of this passage. Jesus, who said last time, come into the light while you have the light, and then hid himself from them to demonstrate what he said, you will not always have the light. He is now saying, I've told you that. I'm about to remove myself from the public that I can go pour into the disciples. Come now while I invite you, because you may not have a chance later. This is that urgent invitation. This got very personal to me this morning. I'm going to read to you a letter that I wrote between 8 o'clock and 8:45 this morning. On this Father's Day, I wrote a Father's Day letter because I couldn't come and share God's truth with you, knowing what Jesus is telling us, without reaching out one more time. Happy Father's Day, Dad. It's Sunday morning, early before church, on a beautiful, crisp, and sunny morning. I'm sitting by the water, overlooking our big bridge and the glistening ripples across the bay. It is a truly spectacular start to the day. It seems only fitting that I write to you on a Sunday that will find me preaching on the fullest context of Father's Day, John 12, 44 through 50. I was gripped by the reality of your lifelong love and sacrifice for me, and now my family as well. Thank you, Dad. I can't say that with a depth or volume of appreciation worthy of your contributions and consistency. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. As you know, in the midst of my adoration and appreciation for you, I also carry an ongoing aspiration. Dad, I desperately long for you to love and trust Jesus, the Christ, as your personal Lord and Savior. I want to share our love and lives forever and ever and ever as saved, born-again Christians with Christ in heaven. I know you think we will both be in heaven, but God, the Creator and Judge over all creation, has clarified that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to God the Father except through Jesus by repenting, which means turning from sin and cleaving to Christ, while simultaneously believing in Jesus per his biblical blueprint. I'll save my sermon for later this morning. Smiley face. But please know that I love you, Dad, and that it is out of that love that I continue to do my best to speak eternal truth into your life, hoping never to push you away, but at the same time, never giving up my passionate, loving conviction that you really do need Jesus in a miraculous, saving way. You once told me that you measure a man by the size of his pile of chips at the poker table. I get that. I got it then, and I still get it today. I've also come to realize that you are accruing your pile of chips in part to bless me and my family in both the short and the long term. For that, again, I say, thank you, Dad. I know that is one of your ways of expressing your love. Your generosity and sacrifices have blessed me immeasurably. At the same time, Dad, please know that your love and life are what I cherish and what I thank God for. You see, Dad, I now play at life with different chips, and I long for the day that you will cash in and come to Christ with me. I pray for the day that I can look across the table to see that you have gone all in with me, with Jesus. For that will be the day that I know a new peace, a new joy. Because that will be the day that I know that I will have your love and life with me forever eternal, at home in heaven. I pray these words from my heart touch you as deeply and profoundly as your card touched me. I know we share a God-given love. On this Father's Day, my hope is that we will also share a God-given life together. That's a cross-bought eternal life together, Dad, forever and ever. Please, please, please do not allow the alternative to come to fruition. I love and thank you dearly, Dad. Happy Father's Day. Forever and ever and ever, your loving son, Jeff. Jesus closes out chapter 12 by pleading with you and me. And if you're a Christian and he's pleading with you and me to plead with somebody else that doesn't yet know him, on this Father's Day, friends, I ask you to love your fathers. And if they love Jesus, then find somebody else's dad to love. I'm praying to God that somebody's going to my dad today and sharing the love of Jesus. Maybe this is his day, that if a sent one would go like Christ and shine and say the hard things that need to be said, that maybe, just maybe, they would know the joy of being used as an instrument of salvation as God does the miraculous work in my dad. For every dad, there's a mom. For every mom or dad, there's a child. For every mom, dad, or child, there's a brother or sister, a neighbor, a friend, a co-worker. Friends, don't allow a holiday to make you myopic. See the mission, gifted through the miracle of grace from a Messiah that hung on a cross, who says to you and me, go, shine. Go, be a sent one that shines, that says that I may save. And I ask you to be painfully transparent. Just tell the truth in love. And if your heart breaks, let them know. And if it doesn't break, ask God to break it so that it will. Because then you'll go. I just want you to remember, it wasn't Disney World up there on the cross. Jesus knew what he was coming to do, and he came anyway, because he loved you and me that much. Let us love him by demonstrating that love for others as sent ones. Worship team, if you'll come, I want to pray, and They weren't expecting this, but as we sang that song to close, Rescue, I just pray that anybody that is here today or hears or sees this message in the future hears this song as well. And let the Lord speak into your heart. We need Jesus. We need to be rescued. And until we're willing to lay down our pride, surrender to victory, and embrace the grace of the gospel, we're going to keep bumping our head on the walls of the dark. Or perhaps even worse, we'll create enough false light to think we can work our way through. Friends, I pray on this Father's Day that you believe that Father knows best and you'll surrender to him. I ask you to just sit, and when the worship team is done, more song will play, but you go at your discretion. And I ask you to go out into the mission field that is our parking lot this morning. I'm going to go look for my dad out there. I pray that you'll look for somebody's dad as well.